Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the show. It has been a couple of months, and we are doing what is officially going to be called the beginning of season two of the Nomad Strength Show. And there was just a period of time where we needed to take a break. I had a couple of instances in the past where took a break for a couple of weeks and then came back with a handful of really good shows. And I was realizing that I just needed a little bit longer to reorient what I wanted to do with this show, what I wanted to do with the brand of Nomad Strength, and really take this time to build out some cool stuff, which is what I've really been trying to do. And so we're back. This is the beginning of season two, and I couldn't be happier to start it off with an awesome guest, one that we had to actually do this interview a couple of different times for some technical issues, but the one that we ended up getting that's going to be posted, right, you're going to listen to right now. It's awesome. And I'm joined today by Chris Korper, who is the founder of Full Strength Father on Instagram. If you follow him on Instagram, fantastic Instagram page. And there's just a lot of really good stuff here in this episode for you. If you're a man who's needing discipline and training and needs to turn your life around and hone in on things that are important, but especially if you're a father, we talk a lot about the importance of physical fitness for fathers, the connection between physical fitness and your mental well-being, things that we've talked about dozens of times on this show before, but the way that Chris puts it really just hits the nail right on the head. We also had a really fun conversation talking about kind of nitty-gritty training stuff, getting into the things that he's doing with his guys and his men that he coaches, some things talking about baseline standards, what men should be able to do, then the importance of hitting real, you know, top level exertion and intensity in training and what that can do for your reference point of what we're calling reference points of what hard training and hard things actually are. Most of us have not really reached that point. It was really just a fascinating conversation all around. And I was really happy to be able to talk with him about it because we share a lot of the same values. We share a lot of the same insights on stuff. And so it was really awesome just to wrap with him about it for an hour. And so I know that you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. With that being said, go follow him on Instagram. If you're in the New Mexico area, which is where Chris is, he does a lot of stuff locally, and you can reach out to him if you're somewhere near him in New Mexico and see if you can meet up, become a part of the groups that he's putting together and the training things that he's doing out in New Mexico. It's awesome. And he really wants to focus more on that local stuff. So we're going to be getting right into the episode. But before we do that, I want to make sure that you guys know to go check out Steady Grounds Coffee Company and go get a bag of the Nomad Dark Roast. It's what we created a handful of months back in a little, you know, science lab experiment of tasting and really getting the flavor profile of this coffee nailed down with George and CT Adams, who are the couple that run Steady Grounds. And it was just a really fun project. And I'm going to do some ASMR here for you right now, because if you're watching, you can see I've got my Death to Tyranny mug right here, and then a French press full of the Nomad. So, does it get better than that? So go get a bag. If you use the code NOMAD15, you'll save a little bit of change on your order. And it's awesome. I want to tag me in it if you try it. Tag Steady Grounds, tag George in it if you try it. It's great, great coffee. And one more note for you guys who are the traditional archery folk, go check out Selway Archery. Drew Kohlhofer and the family over there are amazing for the traditional archery community. They've helped me out. I can't even tell you how much they've helped me out in the year and a half that I've been in this world. And they make amazing, amazing rawhide plastic hood quivers, various different kinds. I have a rawhide one that's engraved with the Nomad Strength logo on it. It's awesome. They've slide on, they have strap on quivers. They have all kinds of products. So if you go check out SelwayArcheryProducts.com, that is where I am getting all of the quivers and all of the stuff for my bow and future bows as I dive into some longbow stuff here too, which we'll talk about. But please go check Drew out. Tell him that you're a fan of the show, and it'll really make a lot of difference for the traditional archery community, which is just really good people, a really kind of niche underground community in the hunting and archery world in general. And so just wanted to give them some thanks and support for what they've done for me in the last 18 months, and hopefully can help you out as well if you need some help with that. So without further ado, let's dive into this episode with Chris Korper. So glad to be back with you guys. We got a lot of really fun stuff coming up for you, and I can't wait to do it. So let's dive in right now to the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Nomad Strength Show. We are doing what seems like part three or four of this interview that we've attempted, but this is the one that's going to get posted. I'm willing it into existence right now. We've tried this a couple of times already, but I'm joined by Chris Korper, and he runs a page on Instagram called Full Strength Father, which I followed several months back and really just enjoyed the messaging that you were putting out on the page, and really the whole point behind why you created the page, which is a funny story of how it kind of blew up. And then you ended up not really wanting it to be something that was overtaking your life, which I totally get that. But dude, thanks for, again, making time. We'll get this nailed down this time, but I'm pumped to talk to you today again, man.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross. Appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to diving in.
Yeah, man. Let's start with the page, because I think anybody that's listened to this probably at this point that knows who you are, that's how they know for the most part on Instagram world. So where did the inspiration or the want to create this Full Strength Father page, where did that come from, and how did it flesh itself out as you were starting to build out the page?
You know, the page is a reflection of a lot of choices in my life that led to that point. I mean, you go into detail about the backstory behind Full Strength Father as a direction in my life. Mm-hmm. But the simple answer is I decided to transition from sports performance in that realm of strength and conditioning, human performance, into specifically working with fathers. And so naturally, I sort of just, I changed my Instagram handle from Coach Korper, which is what it had been for many years, into Full Strength Father, and began posting content that I would find valuable myself as a father. That was really quite simple.
Yeah.
And it turned into, now it's really my largest audience online. And I'd say pretty much my only audience online. Which has been really neat, and it's opened up opportunities for conversations like this and real world experiences with other dads. Like, for example, one of the remote clients that I picked up from the increased traction on Full Strength Father is in Houston, and he's now coming out to do the Bataan Memorial Death March here in New Mexico, and flies in this week to join my local group. And that wouldn't have happened without that increased online presence. So it's really neat. So I'm excited to see kind of where it goes, but that would be kind of a succinct answer to that question.
So you're coming at it from a strength and conditioning and training background. Like, that was where everything originated for you as a coach, right? Where did it sort of morph into more than that when it came to this page? Like, the whole, because it's Full Strength Father, right? It's not just training stuff. Obviously, right, that begins the process of, now we have training as a vehicle for improvement in all areas, right? So was that something that you felt you went through as a father as well? Because you've got young ones. You don't have, like, yours are, if I remember right, like in the 4 to 6-ish range, correct? So how did this stage of your life with them being young, how did that influence, you know, kind of the direction of the page as well?
Well, what you realize as a young father is everything you do really matters, because it's influencing and impacting those young ones. Before you have kids and you're married, I mean, obviously your actions affect that, your strength of your marriage and those kind of things. But, you know, we as a couple we've been through a lot in the last couple of years. We had a miscarriage, which was probably the deepest pain that we had ever been through as a couple. Not probably, it was. And in the midst of that, you know, I had some big time challenges in my in-person business here in New Mexico, my strength and conditioning business that I had started with a partner. And dude, really was just in a really, really dark place mentally and was losing a grip of who I was as a man. Felt like I was sort of walking through quicksand every day, tired, unfocused. I was still doing the things right every day to a point, but I just really lacked vision and direction for my life and was losing motivation. I felt like if I had continued on that path, that it would have not been pretty. And it was just, I was just in pain along with my wife going through that emotional time. And what got me out was structuring the core doctrine of Full Strength Father for myself. I wrote my mission threefold, lead with integrity, provide with consistency, and protect at all costs. And then I wrote a code. It's five parts: physical discipline, spiritual depth, mental fortitude, focus and presence, and time and action. And I just referred to that every day. I was like, I don't even feel like doing any of this stuff, but here's who I believe I can become and who I can be. And so to pull it back to that question, it's that's where it's originated. And what I realized was strength conditioning in my background, as I came out of that dark place through organizing my time and through prioritizing my health and my fitness like I hadn't in a while, I realized that I could help other men do the same thing. And I realized that everything that I had built, all the knowledge that I had from sports performance and my nutrition, my education, my certifications, all of that could be leveraged directly for men. And I realized that that was how I could leave the biggest impact on the planet, because fathers can steer the ship of their families. If they're married, I don't know any wife that would oppose their man being more loving, more physically fit, more financially stable, mm-hmm. more skilled in protecting them. All of those things deepen love, all of those things deepen connection, and all of those things strengthen families. And I think physical fitness and strength is just an integral part of that. That's why physical discipline is the first thing on the code, because getting that right for me led to spiritual depth. It led to more mental fortitude. It led to focus and presence and prioritizing my time and taking action. So
why do you think that is?
Oh man, I think it's tangible to go out and lift or to run or to walk, just to move the body. I feel like my body follows, or my mind follows my body, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling tired in the afternoon, if I just go, you know, bust out a mile long run, I feel way better and I'm ready to reengage versus not doing anything. It's, you know, I think it's a key thing. You may have noticed this you know, your background, your experiences, when somebody levels up their fitness, man, their energy is better, their sleep's better, their confidence is deeper. I mean, how could that not benefit other areas of your life, that cascade effect? So,
yeah, it's an interesting, and it makes, to you and I being in this world, right, it makes perfect sense. But there's a lot of people, and if we come at this from even from a little bit of a faith perspective as well, there's a lot of people who in Christian circles who will sort of balk at the idea that you need to be paying so much attention to your health, right? Because it's like, and I see it all over the place, where it's like they think it becomes a vanity thing. And we're told, like Paul wrote, to train your body is of value. Like, he doesn't say it's the only thing that has value, but like it is of value to be strong. Like there are multiple references to being physically able and strong in scripture. Right. And so like I'm from me coming at this too, this was something that I've been really getting into these last couple of years from that perspective. And so I'm seeing this as like, we have not only the ability, but like the responsibility to do this with these, you know, with these bodies that we're given. Right. I did a post a couple of weeks back, like that's how you honor the gift, is like make sure it runs properly and is like as runs as well and as optimized as you can make it, like with effort. And so these things where you, like you said, I totally agree where a lot of these other disciplines follow a lot of the physical disciplines, because that's like the first thing that people can feel a sense of accomplishment with, where it's like you said, it's really hard to maybe get into these really deep, you know, mental things and fix these and feel progress in a short amount of time. But it's like, I can go out and do 20 pushups and feel a positive effect right then. And like that can begin to trigger the positive action like every day after that. So I'm right on board with you there, dude.
Well, look at this. Like those of you listening and us included, take a deep breath right now. Just one. In through the nose, out through the mouth. How do you feel?
Better every time.
Take five of those.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Like that's the point, is the mind and the spirit can follow the physical. Mm-hmm. And so that's 100% true. And my content has started to shift because of that perspective for me. It was like initially working with dads, I'm gonna help dads be athletic so that they can play sports with their kids. They can do those things, which mm-hmm. is great. But now it's shifting more to like, I want to help dads be able to be physically capable across the board. Mm-hmm. So that they can provide, protect, lead at the highest level possible. Part of that is playing with your kids,
yeah.
being functional enough to go out and jump on the trampoline or to play basketball or to go hiking or do whatever. But there's other elements of that. Like, can you carry heavy things?
Yeah.
Can you sprint when needed? Can you cover 12 miles of ground or 3 miles of ground? Can you run for 3 miles without stopping? All of those things you got to start to consider when you go deeper with it. And that's exciting for me because I've started to look at my own fitness through that lens
yeah.
as a dad. It's like you are a better leader physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in every capacity when you have a deeper, wider, you know, fitness capability. And it's going by the wayside right now, dude.
Yeah.
Like look at the statistics on men in the United States, particularly sedentary, soft, weak. That's the direction we're going because the modern world doesn't reward physicality anymore like it used to.
Yeah. And there's not
even a requirement.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, there's not even the expectation of that in order to, you know, make a living or anything. Right. Like there's so many things that are pushing away from that as even what is required just for survival and living, you know, like, I mean, I'm speaking as somebody who kind of benefits from that as well. Like most of, if not all, my business doesn't need to be done doing manual labor, physical things. Like I'm in strength conditioning, so I lift and I do that, but that's kind of like superficial hard labor. You know what I mean? It's like we do that because we don't have to be out doing the other things to keep our bodies fit. And so it's kind of crazy. And especially the pace at which it's happened. I mean, even just in, I'm 31, almost 32, like even in my lifetime, like it seems how fast it's degraded in just that amount of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was joking with one of my clients the other day. I said, you do realize you pay me to organize manual labor for you, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, it's just, when you boil it all down, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm helping you pick things up.
Yep.
You know, carry stuff. Move your mm-hmm. body around certain points. Like this is, it's just, that's what it is. That's how privileged we are in yeah. this country to be able to take the time and energy and even invest money in being able to organize our manual labor.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know. The fitness industry is an interesting space. You know, when you go onto Instagram, there's other platforms because it's just, everybody wants to make things so complicated.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And I talked to my men about it a lot. I said, look, if most of the things that are the most impactful are free. And yes. anything that can be complicated and made hard to understand will be, because you can profit off of complexity. Because people who don't know as much think complexity means efficacy. Mm. And they buy it because they buy into that. And I don't know if you've felt this way, but I mean, I always tell people the best training programs are simple. They're so simple that I could show it to you for a couple of weeks, and then you should be able to understand the progressions,
yeah,
and the whys,
yep,
and some of the greatest strength athletes in the world. If you looked at what they do on paper, it's not too complex.
No,
it's pretty simple. It's just work.
Yeah,
it's It's work.
Yeah, seriously. Just add a little bit of weight every week.
Yep.
So you challenge yourself and do the same like 5 or 6 exercises. Like it really doesn't need to be more than that. I'm trying to think of who it was that said it, and I'm gonna be mad that I can't remember who it was, but it was like somebody who was a strong man and Highland Games guy, I think. And he said, you know, I'm always asked like, how do I get to be really strong? Whatever, and he goes, squat, bench, and deadlift 1 time a week for the next 10 years. Like, and then you'll be strong. Like, there's really no other way to do it. You know, it's pretty funny.
Well, there's like this meme that's like a bell curve of understanding where you go from like, I have to send it to you. I'll find it. But you know what I'm talking about? You go from, it's that cartoon character where he's like crying and, or, you know, it's a meme, but basically you go through this curve of understanding. And once you start to understand more and more and more, you realize how simple things are. And you just come back to like that core.
It's like, I think, I'm sure there's probably several versions of it, but it's like the, you know, the low IQ person says like squat, bench, deadlift, for example. And then it like, it goes up the curve where the peak IQ, it's like doing all these speed ladders and all these other things. And then like the ultimate high IQ is like bench, squat, deadlift. Yeah. Like, that's pretty much it.
Yep. Yep.
I love it. And
working with youth athletes and sports performance metrics. I don't know if you can hear me. It seems like the internet might be a little bit spotty. Can you hear
me? Oh, there we go. We got you back.
Okay. Can you hear me, Ross? Sorry.
Yeah.
You broke
I got
up.
You.
Got me.
Yeah. I was saying there was an account that I had followed. I can't remember how long ago it was, but I want to bring it back a little bit to some of the father stuff, having these setting examples with these standards for, like, you're not only just the men that you're like, you're working with, but your own children. Right. And this guy had, it's great. Cause it's one of the things that I think my son is almost 5. So it's like, this might be the year we start it, but every year he races his oldest son in like a 40-yard sprint. And he goes, my goal for my fitness is to be able to beat my son for as absolutely long as I can in my life. And he's like, and the kid's like 14. I think. And they've been doing it since he was 5. And he's like, and he's still dusting his kid. And he's like, it's not going to last forever. Like, he will beat me. But my goal is to like stave off him beating me in this race as long as like, he's like, that's why I train every year. I'm like, that's awesome.
That is so legit. Yeah. I love that. That's a great metric.
It really is. And very, very motivating metric too. Like, I'm not gonna lose a foot race to a 9-year-old ever.
You know, oh my gosh. So this gives some insight into the culture that's starting to develop in our household. It's like, my wife went on a girls trip this last weekend, and I was stoked because I had the boys, you know, for like 2 days all to myself, and selfishly. And so we ended up, after a day of just crazy activity, watching Strongman.
Yeah.
Like, us three on the couch watching Strongman on YouTube. Yes. And so fortunately or unfortunately, now my boys know what some of my all-time bests are on certain lifts, and they're comparing me to Brian Shaw and saying like, oh, are you as strong as this guy, Dad? I'm like, negative.
No.
No, sir.
No, I'm not.
Are you one of the strongest men on the planet, Dad? And I'm like, well, statistically speaking, if I can deadlift 600 pounds, yeah, you know, I am one of the
yes, exactly. Not nowhere near these guys, but yes, I am.
In their little minds, they're trying to compartmentalize what this all means, you know, and how I fit in the pecking order already. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I had my 6-year-old, he really wanted to perform a deadlift. And so I put him on blocks, and then I had him do like a T-bar, basically a mid-thigh iso pull.
Yeah. Yeah,
where he could pick it up about 4 inches. So he's like in a good, strong position, and he picked up 110 pounds.
That's awesome.
He, now that number is like locked in his head, and everything he looks at now, he asks how much it is, because that's his reference point.
Yes.
I can pick up 110 pounds. How much is that? So I'm doing floor press the other day, and he's like, how much is that? I'm like, oh, it's, you know, 275. He's like, is that more or less than 110 pounds? I'm like, well, it's a little bit more. He's like, okay. You know, so he's starting to.
That's awesome.
So by the time he's 14, I mean, or 16, I'm just going to be done for.
You exactly. Know?
I may have to go down into the darkness of PEDs to just. Like
that. that's what they're for. It's not for athletes. It's for dads beating their kids at stuff still.
Yeah.
So I know that you have, we talked a little bit about this before, but you have these ideas of sort of these baseline standards for a lot of this stuff physically. Cause I know that you do a lot of stuff locally with guys. And you had talked about, you know, we have these, you guys have these hikes and all these rucks and all these things that you go on, but have you developed sort of this, you know, whether it applies to the men that you coach or to your sons, you know, sort of these, here's what is, you know, acceptable baseline numbers. If it's lifting numbers, if it's rucking numbers, like, do you have some sort of standards for a lot of this stuff that would help somebody who's new, like, what's good, right? Like, what's acceptable? Where should I be?
Man, that's a great question. I'm actually kind of conceptualizing that all right now. You should see the whiteboard in my gym because it, as you know, right, the strength training is best delivered on an individualized basis.
Right.
And so it's really hard to create blanket standards and statements that you can, you know, ascribe to everybody.
Yeah.
So the answer is that, like, it depends, the classic, sure, it depends answer. But I think that we need to be able to squat. I think we need to be able to pick things up off the ground. I think we need to be able to push and pull our own body weight first and then also some load. And I think we need to be good at carrying things and then covering ground.
Yeah.
Now, you know, covering ground, for example, like, to dive a little bit into the concept that of that for me, that is, you know, longer duration carrying of load, like a ruck, like, let's say 12 miles, 35 pounds, being able to perform that in a reasonable amount of time, I think is a great, great length to kind of look at. And then you could pull it all the way down and go, okay, can I run 3 miles? Can I run 1 mile quickly?
Yeah.
What is my 400 meter? What is my 100 meter? And then maybe like a 10 yard sprint and a 5:10.5.
Yeah.
Would be cool to look at.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I'm whiteboarding this out because as my group advances here, and they get more proficient, I'm starting to say, okay, like, let's kind of look at these lifts and then these tests as not necessarily like, I'm not going to give them like a hard number that was what they need to do.
Right.
But let's find out where you are and improve upon that over time. So I do like the idea of having different distances of locomotion. Like, I love that. From a carrying standpoint, what I'm putting together right now is like, I'm looking at like a 50-foot farmer's walk, like unbroken. How much can you carry?
I was just going to say like weight for 50 meters or something like that.
Yeah. And we like clean, right? And we know that, like 1.5, 2 times, 2.5 times body weight, we can get into the strongman. Okay, you're pretty elite if you can do X of your body weight. So we could look at that. I think a yoke is a great way to look at a carry.
Yeah.
And then another one, I think those were the only two that I wanted to look at initially. Oh, another one that was more of a mental test from a carry standpoint is a loop. You know, a Husafell carry at a set weight for max distance.
Yeah, that's actually similar to what I was going to say too. One of the ones that that we've done, that when I work it in, it's always a real mind bender for guys when for guys, because we'll do it just like bear hug style on a sandbag, and like half body weight is the general recommendation, but like, you know, some guys come in that are big dudes, like 150-pound sandbag is a big ass sandbag. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, but the idea is, you 400 meters and you can drop it as many times as you have to drop it. But the goal is like finish 400 meters. So like take it to a track.
That's cool.
Once around the track. Cool. And, what's crazy about those static carries like that, especially on something like a bear hug carry, is there's no eccentric portion of the movement, you know, cause it's not like a dynamic movement. Like, you're literally just static squeezing while you're walking the entire time. So while you're doing it and your back gets absolutely fried and you think your whole thing is going to get destroyed, right? Like, when you're done, sucks for like 20 minutes and then you're totally fine. Like, there's not even really any residual soreness that carries over to the next day just because of that lack of the eccentric portion of a movement, which is usually where like a ton of people get sore from stuff. And so we've gotten to the point with a couple of guys where they start it and it's like 400 meters. They've dropped it 7 times 150 meters into the thing, right? And then you do it once a week or something like that. Over the course of a couple months, they're once maybe, and they'll cruise around the whole thing without even dropping it. But like, if you can do 400 meters carrying like even just like an 80 pound bag, bear hug style, and not drop it and just walk, like your back is freaking, I hate the word, but I'm going to use it. It's bulletproof. Like it is, yeah. Like there are a few things that will ever jack you up in terms of your back like that. So that's, it's like those kind of, you said Husfeld, but same concept, like that in front load carry mm-hmm. in front of your body. Like those things are brutal and they're amazing at the same time.
it's super practical, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I like the idea of having the, like the 400 meter and a standard. I'm interested too in the mental component of an undefined distance.
Ooh.
And if you go around, if you go cone to cone
yeah.
and just go around the cones and it's like 30 feet, you can tell a lot about a person as to where they drop the sandbag on that course.
Yeah.
And what you find is that people who are giving up will drop the bag at the cone. And then those who truly go max effort on that carry will end up essentially falling over.
Yeah. Like literally until they cannot hold it yes. any longer. And that could be at any point in between the two.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of what I'm, man, what Ross, what I'm trying to figure out is how to expose my men to that level of mental exertion and challenge in a safe way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll use like, it's frames of reference, right? So from an athlete standpoint, I just established a new frame of reference in my life, which was a 21 mile ruck two Saturdays ago. The furthest I had gone prior to that was like 13 miles on my feet, 14 miles.
Yeah.
And so now my whole frame is different, dude. Like we're doing the baton this weekend. It's 26.2 at 35 pounds. And I'm like, I got it.
Yeah.
I can do that. Cause I walked away from the 21, like good. And so, from like, think about men who have never experienced a 2K row.
Yeah.
Like all out or a 10 minute max cal on the Echo.
Yep.
Or even a 1 minute max effort on the Echo bike or whatever it might be. If you've never touched that,
yeah.
Your frame of reference on physical exertion and pain and strain.
Yeah.
It's small. It's relatively small. So if we can expand that, then you expand mental toughness, you expand resilience, you expand all these qualities that make you more confident and better as a man. It's the same thing with jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
Like if you've never been hand to hand with somebody, that experience creates a ton of growth and a new reference point. And then the first time you roll with like a blue or like an upper belt, black belt, brown belt, whatever it is, like that expands your reference point. And so I think the more we can expand reference points on effort in these different areas, the better we get from a fitness standpoint mentally. And then once we get a reference point, we can like push it forward through training.
100%.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. The jiu-jitsu one was really interesting one for me to go through because I trained for about a little less than a year before I did my first competition. And not everybody who does jiu-jitsu is going to compete. Like that's totally fine, but I wanted to do it at, you know, when I was a white belt just to test and see, like, I think I can do all right. You know, I'm looking, you know, and even training where we do tons of live rolling, where like that's not super common in a lot of schools. Like you maybe get one or two rounds at the end after the lesson, after all these other technique deals. Like half our class or more is live rolls. And so from a fitness standpoint, you're like, I'm used to the 5 or 6 minute round. But even going from that to like now I got to switch it on and do compete mode. And now it's like first competition, first 5 minute match, I come out and my hands and my forearms were absolutely torched. Cause like, it's just that you have to take it to a whole different level when you're in competition mode. That's like, you can try to simulate that as best as you can in training, but it's just different and you can't explain it until you're in that place. And so my whole, like you said, reference point for exertion in jiu-jitsu was like, now it's like, okay, it was not even remotely as tough as what that first match was when I'm in training. So now I have like these different reference points, like you said. And the other example that I thought of was like I ran track in college. And so with other sports, like the sport itself isn't like training as we would consider it, as, you know, building speed, building strength, like all that kind of stuff. You're doing sports stuff, right? But like track is the sport where it's kind of that, where it is training. Like when you're training to get faster, like you have to be sprinting and taking yourself to really brutal spots. And there was nothing I ever did in football or any other sport growing up that was as hard as the hardest track meets or track practices that I ever had, because like you literally run until your legs can't, you can't move a foot forward because the lactic acid is so just draining your quads and your ass, like you can't walk. And like no other time is that a normal experience for people, you know? And so like you have these, like you had said, these ideas of we have to create these reference points, which I love that just concept, because I don't think most people and most men really have even come close to touching what maxed out exertion actually feels like for themselves. You know what I mean?
And I work with a lot of rehabbing CrossFitters. CrossFitters in rehab.
Yeah.
And you know, right, we can go down
like a rabbit hole, but
well, you know, the reason I bring it up is because I do think that's one of the positive elements of CrossFit.
100%
that I've seen people experience is it takes a normal person, and albeit in an impersonal way, in a non-contextual way, can expose them to that.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Yes. Yeah.
Where they're on the floor and they all of a sudden have a new reference point for what effort looks like.
Yep.
And in fact, a lot of them kind of get addicted to it, and it's like a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And then the community and everything. And so what happens though, is like, if you do that all the time and you hammer, and there's no context and there's no structure, then you can get burnt out and get injured, obviously.
Yeah.
But if it's intelligent and we intelligently expose ourselves to these levels of effort, man, like that's, I think that beautiful blend where you have periodization, you have structure, but then in that structure, you have these intentional exposures to deep challenge. And you go to that level. And the reason you go there, it's not random and it's not just happenstance, it's intentional.
Yeah.
Like we're going to do this workout specifically to take our reference point in this energy system to that level. So that's what I want from you, bro. I want to we're doing a 10 minute max cal. Here's what it's kind of going to feel like.
Yeah.
You know, you've already done it once, but like you need to go deeper. Like I need to see you flip a switch when you have 2 minutes left, and I need to see you just go to the dark, go to that place. Okay. And that's intimidating because it's similar to like trying to recreate what you experienced with jiu-jitsu, where I mean, I think in life, when we do have to use our fitness in an acute situation to save somebody or to do something crazy, that's how it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be the difference between rolling in jiu-jitsu and then a street fight.
Yeah.
Or rolling in jiu-jitsu at the academy and a competition floor. I mean, it's the same thing with a powerlifting comp, a strongman comp, all of it, right? So bringing that into daily training intelligently, I think is a real kind of a holy grail when talking about utilizing this to become more prepared as fathers and more resilient and better leaders. So that's what I'm working through that right now, figuring that out.
Yeah.
Cause any idiot can make another idiot tired.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, one of my, when I first started coaching, I was at like a big box gym, kind of like a Gold's kind of area, but it was a local company that owned it or whatever. And you know, it was your just totally normal Globo gym experience, like from the personalities of everybody that was there. Like I had a great time while I was there, got tons of experience or whatever, training a ton of people. But one of the things that was like the guy who was the head of, there's like four different locations. He was the head of the trainers of all of the four locations, not just like of my building. And he had a thing that I used to just love. It was like my favorite thing he ever said was, he goes, people always say, you know, they always want to feel tired after a workout because that's like their metric, right? And he goes, well, if that's all it takes, I'll put you in a room with a monkey with a baseball bat and you'll get a good workout in. And like, if that's your only metric, like that, we'll accomplish it there. But he's like, you're not going to get better at anything by doing that. And I'm like, dude, that's the best analogy ever. So I use that all the time now.
Yeah, that's true. It's so true, man. Yeah.
So with the, with all these other things that I've noticed lately for you on the page, anyways, you had a really good post the other day. And it actually kind of inspired me to do the same thing this weekend, where you downsized everything in your closet. And I've done this a handful of times before, mostly because like I get so many, and this is not to, I don't know how this is going to sound. I get so many free shirts, like from stuff. Like I don't need to keep getting a bunch of free. So I have like 100 t-shirts. I'm like, I don't need all these, you know what I mean? So like a couple times a year, I'll just get rid of all these like old worn out training shirts. Right. Cause I'll get a bunch of new ones throughout the year. But, you like downsized everything into like a suitcase, which I didn't go that ham with it. But what was the point recently where you're like, all right, I need to simplify. What was that process?
So, fourth element of the code is focus and presence. And I'll read it. It says, we develop the ability to focus. We take care of our physical and digital surroundings. We keep them in order. We create environments, routines, and habits that reduce distractions and enhance productivity. We are engaged. We are present. We understand that our success as fathers is directly connected to our ability to be present and intentional through each moment of the day. So, that's me taking the code and applying it based on discussions I'm having with the men here in my group. I just felt like I had a lot of static in my mind because of my environment. I was just like, dude, okay. So I started with my office and I cleaned house and I simplified it. Then I went to my closet and I cleaned house and I simplified it. Actually today I just went and donated all those clothes that I put in trash bags. I don't have a ton of stuff. I'm a pretty simple guy, but to get to that level of simplicity has been freeing like no other. And so the next step for me is to go through my digital world. Mm. And I've been doing that, right? Because here it references very specifically physical and digital surroundings.
Yeah.
So right now my phone is, there are no apps on my phone. When I open it up, I have an iPhone. Currently my phone, for those of you looking, watching this, I'll show you. Here's, you know, if I pull up my app library, it's grayscale.
I was just going to say, are you a grayscale guy? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will pull in color, you know, when I need to, but I've been running grayscale on my phone.
That is seriously, and if you haven't done that, that is like one of the best. And again, another word that I just hate, hacks, but it literally is like one of the best ones to minimize the pull to be on a device because it makes it unappealing to look at. So you get kind of done with it and over it very quickly. So it's a great little hack for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And my home screen is literally just on the bottom, my calendar, my calls and my messages.
That's awesome.
So it's like a black block that's boring. So yeah, I mean, I'm on a mission right now in my life to live what I share on all levels. And it's freaking awesome because like when I wrote this, it was me saying, here's what I need to get out of this hole. And now I realize it's even deeper than that because it's like, this is a never ending process. We never arrive in any of these areas. And certainly if we're sharing this with somebody, we gotta live it. That's what I love about strength and conditioning and fitness and everything. I feel like I can't lead others where I'm unwilling to go myself.
Yeah.
And so that's a reflection of me working to lead from the front in this regard. But it is extremely freeing. And I had a conversation with one of my men this morning after working out. He's going through a lot of challenges in his marriage. And he shared with me what his wife was telling him that he needed to change and improve and why she was hanging by a thread. Like it was a really deep conversation, but I'm very cautious as to like how I answer stuff when people come to me.
Yeah.
And the impression that I had to share with him was control the controllables. Right. Yep. And when you look at your life, these things that she's saying, is there truth in them? Or could you tell me that every area that she brings up, you've got it 100% locked and she's insane? Right. And the answer was, there's truth there. And so then we have to be introspective and say, okay, Well, let's use a random example. She's frustrated that the house isn't organized or cleaned, or I'm not doing what I said I was going to do in that regard. Okay. Well, we could get bitter and prideful, and we could look at that negatively, and we could put it on her and say, well, she doesn't do this, that, or whatever. Or we could say, all right, I'm going to own that. And then I think the real place I want to get is competing against that thing that is brought up. And yeah. And I'm a competitive person. I'm an athlete. So how can I approach that issue, the house, in a way that's competitive but positive, to a point where my goal is to win the championship, the World Series, the Super Bowl, yeah. the World Cup, in that little thing? And so what does that look like? Well, that means that the house is not just taken care of. It's actually so exceptional that there's no doubt. I've not even flirted with the edge. I've gone so far beyond it that I can stand there and say, yeah, like there is no doubt that this area that was brought up is now completely owned and owned so much that you're in awe of how I've owned this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what I kind of talked to him about, is like, if you do that over the next 6 months with these things that are brought up, what do you think your life's going to look like? And he was just silent. Just like, yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, seriously.
And do you think your wife potentially might be more attracted to you? Yeah. And even if she isn't, does that matter? I mean, you can't control that. And so if you control what you control, I can guarantee you, though, you will be at peace. You will be more, you know, focused, and you'll be happier because of that. So
there's some really good coaching going on there, too, because one of the things that I've always, or not always, I guess, but I've learned from good coaches is that oftentimes it's not like the coach is there to just give you answers to stuff, but where you were just asking him questions that he already knew the answers to, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the point, is like, to, you know that this is all going to be good if you do this kind of, or like better if you do this kind of stuff. Right. And he goes, well, yeah. Like, you know, like, it's more about just to illuminate a little bit and be like, you know what you need to be doing. And I would say 90% of the time, that's more so what coaching actually is. It's like most people know, and men a lot of times especially know the things that they should be doing. But it's like, mm-hmm. until it brought to their attention by someone else and kind of maybe an uncomfortable way, it's like, okay, well, now it's not just me that knows this. Now somebody else does. So now I got to kick it in the butt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For real. And I think sometimes people need permission to go hard and to open up the throttle in life. Because, it was like this weekend when on that trip, you heard how I referenced that earlier, where I verbalized, like, I was so excited to have my boys for a few days alone, mm-hmm. like to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honest, when the wife was leaving, there was this part of me that, you know, back to the whole memes, like when mom leaves, everything falls apart. Right.
Right.
Like, there was a part of me that was like, oh my gosh, like I have to do this. I have to do that. I've got to make sure the dish, like, how am I going to handle all this stuff that I'm not used to doing when we have our separate roles and we're both home, you know, cause we just have our way of operating. Yep. And now I got to do it all. And that's when I kind of use that tactic. I would call it a mental tactic of like, okay, well, you know what? I'm actually going to compete against that person that wants to just slack and mm-hmm. let it all fall apart. I'm going to beat him, and here's how I'm going to do it. And then when my wife gets home, here's what it's going to look like. It's going to be awesome, because she's going to see the yard like dialed. She's going to see the garage totally just spick and span. Mm-hmm. All the dishes are going to be done. Laundry's going to be folded, house is going to smell good, you know, we're yeah. going to have meal prep, yeah. and I'm going to have spent all day outside with my boys just crushing it. So I'm going to yeah. make that happen. And that gets fun, dude. Cause yeah. like, as an athlete, what's fun? Winning is fun.
Yeah.
And the process of becoming a championship athlete is fun. And losing is not fun.
And that's not just an athlete thing, by the way, that is a very ingrained male thing. Like, and I think agree. that gets squashed far too often. Like, you know, not everything's competition. It's like, I mean, sure, but really it kind of is, though. Like, you know, we can find ways. I mean, that was one of the best things about, I remember, anything growing up if you're with a group of dudes growing up, you 12 years old, like how many games did you just invent to compete against the friends that you were with? Like it is a part of us as men, like to create things to compete against each other in. And so like, yeah, it doesn't have to be like I'm winning everything all the time, but it's like, I can gamify this a little bit, you know, and that gets me, because then it's like, and there actually is, and there is actual clinical research that shows like a quote unquote win or consecutive wins or like positive things in that realm that happen is a literal testosterone boost for men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that makes perfect sense. Like the more you do this kind of stuff, the more of the good juice you get flowing in your veins. You know what I mean? Like that's why it feels good to win things.
Well, look at the energy of our conversation. When we start talking about competing and winning, it's like, it ramps up. We're getting like super excited,
right?
You know, versus like, if I put a damper on, I say, hey man, you know, like we got to let everybody win. Like, I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what competition is and then healthy and unhealthy competition.
Yeah.
Because what I want to build is everything's a competition.
Yeah.
Everything is a competition. It's a righteous, healthy, good competition against one's own ego, against one's weakness, against, you know, I'm starting to sound like Jocko here, right? Like
good.
But it's so true. We are competing at all times, whether we know it or not. Let's go scriptural here. Dark versus light, good versus evil. Does evil sleep? Evil does not sleep, man. You know, and since the dawn of time, light and darkness, free will has been in place for us to be able to move through immortality and learn what we need to learn and progress like we need to progress. If there was no darkness, there would be no light. Darkness is ever present, just as light is, and it's a constant battle that's being waged right now spiritually. So whether we like it or not, we're on that battlefield.
Yeah.
Whether we recognize it or not, we're on the battlefield. So we might as well put on that armor and go to work and compete. And I just think it's so motivating to frame things with a competition element for me. It's just very recent that I've started doing this. It's like with the last 2 weeks, you know, that I've had some of these insights.
It reminds me of the I'm going to go, I'm not even going to say nerd. I'm not even going to say it because it's just awesome. I'm going to go Tolkien on you.
L2R, baby.
It's the Aragorn quote where he says, like, war is upon you, whether you would have it or not. Like that's literally what we're just talking about. Like all this stuff is going to be darkness versus light. All the things around us that seem like it's going off a cliff. Like 98 to 99% of that stuff, we have zero influence over. So it's like, doesn't matter if we want it to happen or not, like it's coming, you know, whatever it is. And so, like you said, what can we do now in our own times to prepare physically, mentally, like with skills, all of these other things that you've talked about, because it doesn't matter what, if we want it to or not, like, most of this stuff is coming anyways. And that's not to sound like doom and gloom or whatever, because that doesn't even necessarily mean that. But it's like all of this stuff is without our control anyways. So
right. Well, if we as men, I mean, like winning, right, and in competition, think about this. This is a good question to ask, because I started asking myself this a couple of weeks ago, and that's I think where all this came from, is like, what do I define as a win for the day? How can I look at that day and say that was a win?
Yeah.
Or I think some men, myself included, can go months or years without even defining that they're winning or not.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're making a paycheck. Yes, we're doing this. We're kind of going through the motions, but are we really winning?
Yeah.
Are we really in pursuit of a vision that we're winning? And so I think the more things we gamify and make a competition, the more wins we can see on the scoreboard, the more momentum we're going to feel. So this weekend was a win because I was able to frame it as a competition. And then when the wife came home, I had accomplished what I set out to accomplish. It was a dub.
Yeah.
And it made this week so much better. And I'm already feeling more spiritually strong, like more connected to her and my boys because of the W that I put down on that weekend. And I played baseball, so we had a lot of games, and I liked the frequency of that. Yeah. And if you're a hitter, you get at bats, and then in a bat, you get pitches. And pitch to pitch, you can get a W or you can get an L. And a lot of times in baseball, like, you may make contact and hit a baseball real hard, but it doesn't show on the scoreboard.
Right.
So I think that mentality is really symbolic for us as men. It's like, okay, it's just establish what a good at bat is. What's a good choice on, what's a good swing? You put a good swing on the ball, you make a good choice. That's a W.
Yeah.
And like, and quantify that and look at that. So,
and that's a sport too, where like a 30% success rate means you're like one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, exactly. It's a terrible sport. I don't know why I chose to play. It's horrible. It's
crazy when you think about it in those terms, and that with that data in mind, it's wild.
It's terrible. It's a horrible thing to do.
Oh, that's funny, dude. So I want to ask you about where your boys are now, having seen a lot of this stuff develop lately with you personally, like you going through all of these insights and these changes with yourself, but then also the things that you're doing with the men that you coach. You already said like they're really receptive to a lot of this stuff and are getting in on it. And I've seen you post videos of them getting in and lifting and doing all those kind of things too. With them specifically, how do you go about teaching them? Because it's, you know, you're doing the same thing with your boys and with the men that you coach, but obviously it's a different type of message to a degree. Like when you're talking to a 6-year-old versus a 40-year-old man, right? So like, how do you make those distinctions? Like, yes, we're technically kind of doing the same stuff, but what's different about your approach with your boys to build them up with all this stuff than what you do normally with the other guys?
Honestly, it's not that much different.
I was thinking you were going to say that too.
I mean, it's having fun. I mean, you get to work out, you get to go build bike jumps, you get to blow stuff up. We get to go shoot guns. We get to do jujitsu. Like, it's just doing things.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have some grand strategy, but like there are basically living my life to the fullest and bringing them with me on that journey and asking questions of them and just having conversations and just being present, I think, is that key. Because if you're really present with those young kids, they're curious, man. They want to explore the world, especially young boys. They don't want boundaries. They want to be big. They want to be a big boy. My 3-year-old, Dad, I'm big. I want to do this. And just enabling that, it takes energy for sure. But like from a tactical standpoint, get the screens out, get them off screens, no iPads, no phones, no nothing, and watch what happens.
Yeah.
And then everything opens up. Get outside, get in the dirt, you know?
Yeah.
Do some dangerous stuff. Like, I think like my boys, they know how to use knives. They know how to climb trees. They know how to use tools. But by no means am I some expert woodsman or you know, archer or anything. I'm okay with just doing a lot of fun things with these guys as they grow. Now, frameworks matter. So like the way I live my life, I think is naturally going to translate to them for sure. So they see how I eat, they see how I train. And that's definitely something that motivates them to do those things too. Because it's reference points. Back to that whole conversation, I'm giving them reference points as young men already that many young men don't get, I guess. Like we're doing pull-ups and we're doing jujitsu and we're doing all these things. To them, that's kind of normal. But then when they're, you know, when certain friends come over, other people that may not have that same approach in their life, it's foreign to those kids. Like riding a bike over a jump is foreign to another 8-year-old or 9-year-old because they just never did it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so look at all those areas. Tell you what, man, Way of the Warrior Kid has been awesome for my two boys. They listen to it on repeat.
Cool.
And I'm so grateful for that book because it's added another layer to what I want to instill in them. It's by Jocko Willink. So we have the audio book. So I think that's a tie-in point is as a man being okay with not being the only sole source of information, but being open to saying, oh yeah, my friend Kenny, he's a hunting guide. He's going to teach me how to hunt and I'm excited to learn from him. He's the expert. in this. And then so-and-so over here, this guy's really good at this. We're going to learn from him about this. Like, I take him to Samson and show him the welders in the back fabricating equipment and all those skills that those guys have. And I'm saying, these guys are, I don't know how to do this, but these guys do.
Yeah.
You know, and so you open them up to being curious and being okay with mentorship from a bunch of different quality people. I think that's a powerful thing to do with young kids. So yeah, I don't know if that answers kind of what you were after.
It totally does. And it's really cool to hear that too, because like I said, my oldest, my only son is, he's 4 and a half, he's be 5 this summer, but ever since he's been able to like walk, basically, he's been just into everything, like wants to do everything. And this last fall, he started coming with me every Tuesday night to the indoor 3D traditional archery league. And there's like a couple other little boys that are like 7, 6, 7, 8. And he's the youngest by like 2 or 3 years, but he just has his little 10-pound bow that he just sends things down because he loves it. Like, because he sees how much I shoot and he knows that why I shoot is to get ready to go up and take some animals down with it. And so he's like all in on that. But it's just like you said, the things that they see you take an interest in, they just will naturally be interested in, or at the very least curious about. Like, maybe they don't end up digging it, but it's like, why does dad like it so much? I want to like go over, hang out and see what's going on. And maybe it's really cool. But like you said, exposing them to as much of those different things, even like you said, from other influences, you know, that have different expertise, like it's killer, because they'll not only like end up finding the one thing that they like, but they'll also probably get good at a bunch of other stuff in the meantime and be really well-rounded, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like we love life. If we're loving life and we're motivated and we're pushing and we're positive, man, like it does wonders for the kids, because that's a frame of reference for them. Again, another frame of reference, like how you approach your day, what's your body language like. And it's hard when you get home from a long day of work and you're tapped mentally to roll in and flip that switch. I think that's something I'm just really trying to work on always, is giving them the gift. It's really a gift of presence and energy and a smile. And if I can do that, even though inside I might be stressing about finances, I might be worried about this or that, these big people, adult problems, if I can do that for my young ones, then I'm winning for sure. And I can't speak to how to deal with teenagers yet. You know, I have not crossed that bridge, but I know for a fact that the foundation we lay and the way we live is going to matter no matter what age they are. Even if they're in their 30s or 40s, if they see us pursuing our passions and learning and growing and never stop growing, then I think that's really what it's all about.
It's awesome, dude.
Because you can't be led by somebody who's not leading themselves.
Yeah.
Why would you? I always wonder, when is my leadership capital going to run out with Jens and Gunner? And the return thought on that is, well, the only way it runs out is if I stop pursuing growth. They may not reference me like all the time as the go-to for questions, but if they go through a period of time where, you know, there are in other areas and they look back in my direction and dad's still studying, dad is still training, dad is still developing skill sets at 60, at 70, still curious, still open. That's the type of person that you can go to.
It's awesome, dude. That's a pretty killer wrap-up spot right there too, I think. So,
dang, what time is it?
we're like right at an hour almost. So
let's go.
We crushed that one this time, and zero technical difficulties, dude. We crushed it this time. Like, we had a couple practice runs before today.
What's up with that internet where you're at? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't
know. You got to upgrade that. He's on his hotspot
up here in Narnia, man. thank you for making time again today, Chris. I really appreciate it, man. Before we head out, why don't you do the plugs for the page? What you got going on? I know you got a lot of local stuff going on. So if anybody is in your local area that doesn't know what's going on, like, tell them how to hit you up.
Local area. Yeah. Just message me at Full Strength Father on Instagram. That's the best place to find me. developing a website, getting some apparel together. Currently just about to launch the Full Strength Father Forge program. And that is an 8-week intensive around the mission and code and self-evaluation in Full Strength Father.
Yeah.
So I will be going public with that for sure. After I run this test group, I got 20 guys doing it, and that'll be something that you should be seeing on my Instagram. So when you do see that and you want to be involved in that, it's going to be awesome. And I've got a journal that I'm developing as well.
Saw that picture the other day. That looks dope.
Yeah. The Forge, dude, it's awesome. I can't wait to help other men use it. And I briefly talk about that. If you're not journaling right now, please start. I mean, just speaking from experience, from a mental clarity standpoint, but also for a record for your posterity. Day one is an application that I'd highly recommend for couples. Obviously for yourself, it's great, but you can do a shared journal. And what Janelle and I have been doing to deepen our connection is we each do an entry in that shared journal every morning about what we're looking forward to for the day, what we're experiencing, how we're feeling. And I can go read that entry and feel more connected to her without necessarily, you know, hopping on the phone or doing anything like that when we're busy. And you can print any of those journals that you do in day one at any time into a hard copy.
Oh, that's cool.
So if we put in a year's worth of work on our shared journal, we could print it for our anniversary and have a full book of our correspondence for the year.
That's awesome.
So just felt like I should share that because I feel like that's the route that I'm going is developing a journaling system for fathers that helps them become better fathers, but also provides a record of their efforts for their kids. So
I like that a lot.
Full Strength Father, man. Yeah. Yeah. Instagram, hit me up. Anybody who has any questions or needs any help. I do one-on-one online coaching from a strength and conditioning standpoint. And that's a great product that I'm really proud of. Very limited slots on that. But if I have availability and you message me, I'd love to chat.
That's awesome, dude. Well, man, Chris, thanks again for making time. I had a blast chatting with you today, and we'll catch up soon, man.
Sure.